Hi everyone, this is Rich Lucy with the Drug Enforcement Administration in our Community Outreach and Prevention Support section. I welcome you to this episode of our podcast series, Prevention Profiles, Take 5. This is an exciting episode for me personally. Today we have a very special guest with us. It is DEA's Acting Administrator, Udom Dhillon. So really excited to welcome Mr. Dhillon to the podcast and get his thoughts on some of the various issues you're dealing with on college campuses and some of the things that we're working on here at DEA to help support your efforts. Before we introduce or welcome Mr. Dhillon formally to the podcast, let me tell you a little bit about him. Udom Dhillon was appointed Acting Administrator of the Drug Enforcement Administration on July 2nd, 2018 by Attorney General Jeff Sessions. In 2006, Mr. Dhillon was confirmed by the United States Senate as the first Director of the Office of Counter-Narcotics Enforcement at the Department of Homeland Security. In that role, he worked closely with other federal agencies to coordinate the federal government's anti-drug efforts. Prior to DHS, Mr. Dhillon served as an Associate Deputy Attorney General in the United States Department of Justice, where he led the development of the department's anti-gang efforts as chair of the Attorney General's Anti-Gang Coordination Committee. Earlier in his career, Mr. Dhillon served as an assistant United States attorney in the Central District of California for over 6 years. And in that role, he directed complex investigations of major narcotics trafficking organizations and gangs. Mr. Dhillon successfully prosecuted cases involving narcotics trafficking, money laundering, and gun possession crimes. With that, Mr. Dhillon, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So as is typical with all of our podcasts, we're basing the interview around 5 questions that we've prepared for you. So we'll dive right into the first one. We know, and a lot of our listeners know, that DEA's primary mission is to enforce the nation's federal drug laws. So why is DEA involved in drug abuse prevention, which seems like a separate lane from enforcement?
Well, there's no doubt that DEA's primary mission and responsibility as a law enforcement agency is to enforce the nation's federal drug laws. But law enforcement alone isn't going to get the nation out of the drug crisis that we find ourselves in today. This is why prevention is so important and why it has to be a part of our comprehensive approach. DEA recognizes that not only reducing the supply of drugs is essential to a safe and drug-free community, but also reducing the demand for illicit drugs is a very important component to effectively reduce drug use in our nation. That's why more than 3 decades ago, DEA created what is now our Community Outreach and Prevention Support section as an essential complement to our primary law enforcement mission.
So it really is, it is not an either or, it is a both and.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, great. So our second question, still connects with the law enforcement issue. Historically, and a little bit of background, my entire federal and state government career has been in drug abuse prevention. I know that historically it's sometimes a challenge for law enforcement personnel and prevention practitioners to work together. Maybe they don't necessarily see eye to eye on how to deal with America's drug problem. Why is that, and do you think the relationship is better?
Well, I think there might have been a time when it seemed like prevention and law enforcement were at odds with each other. I mean, let's face it, prevention's primary mission is prevention, and law enforcement's primary mission is law enforcement. But prevention and law enforcement do have a shared goal, which is helping to create and maintain safer and healthier individuals, families, and communities. So while it might seem like prevention and enforcement are in separate lanes, I absolutely believe the relationship is better because they are working collaboratively on this shared goal. Mm-hmm. And we took our cue on this from our partners in the prevention field. Collaboration has long been recognized as a key element of successful drug abuse prevention, mainly because the issue is so complex that no one agency or organization can do it on their own. So many of DEA's special agents see firsthand the harmful impact that drugs are having on our nation's communities. Being a law enforcement agency provides us with an opportunity to offer a unique perspective to drug abuse prevention efforts. So we think that working hand in glove with prevention is critical to our mission.
Mm-hmm. So the key takeaway message for our listeners, obviously, is that collaboration is the key, that this is a
Absolutely.
Big issue, nobody can do it alone.
Absolutely. And of course, the DEA's 360 program is one way that we do have, we collaborate with prevention professionals in communities when we're attacking drug trafficking organizations.
Absolutely. That's a great example too. And for our listeners that go to DEA.gov, can learn a lot more about our 360 strategy on there, about what Mr. Dillon is talking about with our connection between law enforcement and our community outreach and prevention folks. So our third question now gets to this population that's primarily listening to our podcast, which are institutions of higher education. So over the course of the past few years, DEA enhanced its outreach and prevention support to colleges and universities. What does DEA hope to achieve from this support with this group?
Well, the first thing we hope to achieve is to change their perception of DEA's presence on campus. Historically, DEA has been on college campuses for recruitment fairs or enforcement actions, but now we want the administrators, faculty members, staff, and students to recognize that DEA does have another role. We're there to help support colleges and universities in their efforts to create safe and healthy learning environments. National survey data tells us that the 18 to 25 age group have some of the highest rates of drug use, and of course, college students fit squarely into that group. According to the Monitoring the Future study, college students' use of marijuana is at its highest levels seen in the past 3 decades. Mm-hmm. Nearly 1 in 5 full-time college students reporting using marijuana at least once in the past month. And according to the American College Health Association, more than 9% of college students reported using one or more types of prescription drugs, and that includes antidepressants, painkillers, sedatives, and stimulants. And these were drugs that were not prescribed to them within the last 12 months. So DEA has developed a new portfolio of prevention-related resources for institutions of higher education. 2 years ago, DEA created www.campusdrugprevention.gov, mm-hmm. which is our award-winning website for professionals working to prevent drug abuse among college students. We have staff lending their expertise in prevention science, policy, and programming at national and statewide conferences. And later this year, we're going to publish a strategic planning guide to preventing drug abuse among college students. So we're hopeful that these products get created with input from colleges and universities on the types of resources they need most to help support their prevention efforts.
So what we know in prevention is data typically drives your programming, and you follow the data to determine what to do next. And as you've said, the national studies show this age group has some of the highest rates of drug abuse, specifically in the areas of marijuana use, prescription drug misuse. And I think it's important to recognize that we are more than just recruitment fairs and enforcement actions on college campuses. We do have this now nice packaged portfolio that continues to build for colleges to help them in their efforts. So we as talked about before, we can't do it alone. We really thank you and the other leaders of DEA for supporting our efforts in being able to produce these products. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much for that. I'll move on to our fourth question. I want to get into now one of our biggest and more high profile activities, and that's National Prescription Drug Take Back Day. Mm-hmm. In fact, this past October, we collected across the country more than 457 tons of expired, unwanted prescription medicine at more than 5,800 sites. I think that was our biggest collection ever in the history. So how can college campuses get involved in the next Take Back Day, which is this October?
Well, first let me thank the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators and the National Association of Student Personnel Administrators for their partnership with DEA over the past 3 years. They've helped us to promote National Prescription Drug Take Back Day and encourage colleges and universities to participate. So we're very thankful for their assistance. Mm-hmm. Second, as I mentioned earlier, college students misuse a variety of prescription drugs, opioids, stimulants, and sedatives, for example. So colleges and universities know firsthand that they are not immune from the crisis our nation faces around prescription drug misuse. So they're eager to get involved on their individual campuses and their surrounding communities to do what they can do to address this issue. For college and university police departments that are interested in sponsoring a take-back location on their campus, we urge them to go to deatakeback.com. There's a separate section on the website for law enforcement agencies to get the DEA point of contact for their state. And colleges and universities also can partner with their local community's prescription drug take-back efforts. So if you're located in or nearby a city with a drug-free communities grant, it's worth it to reach out to them to volunteer some help.
Absolutely. And we've worked in our section with, as you've mentioned, IACLIA and NASPA to help promote involvement with Take Back Day. And over the last couple of years, we know that anywhere between 100 and 150 campuses directly serve as location sites or collection sites. Now, of course, that's only if they have a duly authorized and sworn police force that can do that. Other times, they're working directly with their communities. So this is absolutely an opportunity for colleges and universities to get involved in this initiative, either directly on their campus or in their surrounding community. So lastly, I'll move to, I think, probably our second biggest high-profile initiative, which I think is safe to say is pretty near and dear to your heart in mm-hmm. some respects, Mr.
Absolutely.
Dillon. And that's Red Ribbon Week, which started more than 30 years ago following the kidnapping, torture, and murder of DEA Special Agent Enrique Kiki Camarena. What makes Red Ribbon Week special, and how can colleges and universities get involved?
Well, as you said, it's special for that reason. There are really two reasons why Red Ribbon Week is special for DEA. It does honor the memory of Special Agent Camarena and the ultimate sacrifice that he made in the line of duty. It's a reminder of how dangerous our work can be as we carry out our very important mission. Second, Red Ribbon Week is a uniform way for individuals, families, and communities to take a stand against drugs and drug use. It's important to note that we need to promote drug use prevention messages year-round, but Red Ribbon Week gives us the opportunity to heighten awareness about the destructive effects of drug use in a very concerted and focused way.
Mm-hmm.
Colleges and universities can also get involved by participating in our annual campus video, PSA contest. DEA will hold the fourth annual contest this fall, once again with our co-sponsor, the Center for Substance Abuse Prevention. The college university with the winning PSA receives a plaque and $3,000 to support their campus's drug abuse prevention efforts. And to get more information and to see past winning PSAs, please go to our website, Campus Drug Prevention. That's one word, campusdrugprevention.gov, and click on the link to Red Ribbon Week on the resources page.
Thank you for also talking about the PSA contest, because we're really happy with it and the reception it's received in the field. The takeaway that I get from your response is that while Red Ribbon Week is 8 dedicated days in October, it really goes beyond that. Is
Absolutely.
That correct?
It's a message that we need to be delivering year-round.
Absolutely. And we're doing our part to do that. And this just gives us an 8-day window to really highlight what's going on with it. But you're absolutely right. The prevention messaging needs to happen all year round. So with that, we're going to conclude the interview. Again, Mr. Dillon, really, really pleased that you were able to join us on this episode of the podcast. And thank you for your leadership here at DEA.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.